Hi everybody, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. Today, I believe, is December 30th, 2018. I can't believe this year is literally just about over. I don't know about you, but for me, it's been a very eventful year and it's been kind of crazy. Not only because of the change, you know, politically, here in the United States, but just for my own personal transformations, and I would say even, I guess, achieving some very important goals that I set for myself quite some time ago. So although I'm looking forward to the end of 2018, I'm very, I guess I can say, proud of some of the things that I've done, and I'm hopeful that you're also proud of things that you've overcome, lessons that you've learned, friendships that you've made, and even trials that you've endured. So I kind of wanted this to be, or maybe today I wanted to focus a little bit on the New Age movement, to kind of talk about my understanding of what that is, my initial understanding, and how that's kind of changed as I've explored this movement quite thoroughly over the past few years. The reason being is because, as many of you know, I was raised, you know, this sounds unbelievably redundant, you know, Christian. So the whole idea or knowledge of the New Age was not there for me. I really had no understanding of what that was. I didn't even know what it existed, that it existed. And I didn't even know that the New Age had been new for quite, well, not really new for quite some time, but had been around for quite some time. So I really wanted to address this because everything I talk about moving forward will be essentially under the umbrella of this so-called New Age movement. At least when you begin to do your own individual research, you're going to find, I would say, books and other podcasts kind of categorized under this movement. However, you'll see that the word New Age has kind of changed because it has such a nasty stigma associated with it. So you'll find New Thought Movement, or the most popular, I would say, category of the day is under spirituality, which is great because I think it encompasses everything. So let's talk about the New Age movement a little bit. So from my understanding, the quote-unquote New Age began in the 1960s with, let's say, I guess you could say erupting out of hippie haven, if you will. I was trying to find the right term. When there was more a focus on community coming together to help one another, social upliftment and enlightenment, seeking truth, if you will. I mean, obviously, with the Vietnam War, there was a lot of anger towards the government, the man, if you will, and the rigid structures of a society. And there was this desire to kind of try a new way, think differently, explore differently. And a lot of great things came out of the beginning of that movement, of that social movement, if you will. For some, it's not even a social movement. For some, it's like a, you know, religious movement. But really, I feel like it was a social movement in that it produced individuality, but also a sense of community, but self-exploration. And that's important for any kind of growth on an individual level, but also on a societal level. So there's kind of this nasty stigma at the beginning, I think, of this movement where you have these little communities that are kind of popping up in the woodworks, if you will, of hippies living together and being naked. That's kind of a really nasty stereotype, but it's kind of a true one where you would have these communities gathering and they would be, you know, producing art and crafts, and there was this togetherness and this oneness, living off the land, smoking weed, and again, the sense of all is love, right? Together we are one, etc. So that is kind of, I would say, the image you would get at the beginning of this movement, right? The sense of togetherness. However, I don't really know exactly when that movement kind of took on metaphysics and everything that's kind of, I guess you could say, under New Age. When we think of the New Age, we think of, channeling and aliens and angels and spirit guides. And it's really kind of hard to identify and pinpoint when exactly those elements began to erupt out of this movement. For me, on an individual level, I kind of feel like there was some sort of shift, if you will, with, I believe it's Jane Roberts, Seth Speaks, where this entity identifying itself as the energy of a person named Seth began to, I guess you could say, be channeled through Jane Roberts, providing all of this wonderful information about life and death, about consciousness, and our ego self. Like, there's a whole library of information just out of Seth Speaks that's very useful and helpful. But also, I think was very important in terms of shifting our perceptions about what life is, what it's about, and the fact that there's that we are, what's the best word? Creators, essentially, of our reality. And I think that's probably the most important message, amongst many others, of course, of love, which is also extremely important, that kind of erupted out of this whole Seth Speaks. I know there's a lot more that I'm not including here, but I do kind of encourage you to go read that work, because I think it's very helpful and very powerful. And what you'll see today in a lot of books, especially, what is it, The Law of Attraction, The Secret, is it mirrors a lot of what is said in Seth Speaks. So it seems like a lot of this information, this New Age information, kind of erupted from, I don't want to say these communities, but by having these communities that were safe havens for seeking, safe havens for exploration of the self. And yes, some of these were really like drug-filled environments, and some of them were not. It did provide a safe space for somebody to go beyond the normative religious structure that we subscribe to, or that has been in place for forever, essentially, right? To seek elsewhere, which I think also is one of the most important tenets of the movement, is to know thyself. And now, this isn't saying that there haven't been branches of this movement that, to me, are completely out of line with what I think the initial intent was. But there is no one spokesperson for the movement, right? Which is great. So going back to who I think were some of the most crucial people, or at least some of the material that I think was very impactful on this movement, the Seth material that came from Jane Roberts, just going back to this briefly, because I do think that the messages that came from all of the books that were channeled through Jane Roberts were incredibly important. And I think that some of that material kind of, I don't want to say it got lost, but the books were produced in the late 60s, early 70s, I think all the way up to probably, 1979, and wasn't really revisited for a long time. And the reason I'm saying this is because I think the material that was packaged in The Seth Speaks was kind of repackaged with The Secret, in my own personal opinion. Now, going into what some of the Seth material talks about, I mean, it's a wide range of metaphysical content, right? And deals with a lot of various concepts, including, of course, the nature of God, in which if you read some of the Seth material, Seth references God as all that is, which is very interesting for me on a personal level, because that's how it's been referred to when I've heard from above, if you will. This material also references or discusses, let's say, how the universe became, if you will. Concepts, of course, of like the higher self, the evolution of the soul, past lives, karma, all of the interesting topics that we come to find, expand later on in the, I would say, late 90s, early 2000s, right? So I feel like the Seth material pretty much gives voice to all of the topics of exploration that really expand later on. But it kind of gets lost a little bit, in a sense that obviously as a human race, when there's something new, you know, our eyes shift in that direction and we forget about some of the old, if you know, in a certain way. But I do kind of think it's important to revisit some of the core teachings of that material, because I think that some of the principles that they talk about are crucial if you are looking to, you know, explore ideas such as like higher consciousness, multidimensional realities, parallel lives, the self, Christ, etc. All of that's addressed in a variety of books from the Seth material. So also in terms of this movement, there's so much to talk about. I'm trying to confine it to just a couple of people since we only have like 30 minutes. But I really also am trying to give voice to how I think this movement kind of emerged. You're going to find various like origin stories of this movement, because some people push it all the way back to even the 19th century, when you have like Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, and the Theosophical Society and that. But I kind of feel like the quote unquote New Age movement is a little bit different, in that not necessarily different in intent, because I think the whole goal of all of it was to bring awareness, knowledge, and an awakening of sorts to man. But obviously, you know, when it comes through humanity, it comes through our own egos, and there's always an agenda to a certain degree, not always. I mean, sometimes like power comes into play and, you know, can muddle what were originally good intentions. But yeah, so anyway, I digress. So somebody else who I think is kind of, well, even though they weren't in the 1960s or 70s, I still think that the work of Edgar Cayce was very impactful in terms of kind of being a force of nature for what this movement ends up being about. Now, for those of you who are unaware of Edgar Cayce, he's also known as the Sleeping Prophet. Prophet in a sense that, yes, he did prophesize about future events, not in like a Nostradamus kind of way, but he was known for helping a lot of people in terms of like health issues, ailments, but also giving information on past lives. He also was very well known for helping a president with one of his issues. So he was quite famous in his heyday. But his information really brought, I think his practice, excuse me, brought to the fore information about the fact that, you know, there is reincarnation, which, I mean, we can totally go on an entire discussion about how that's even like referenced in the Bible. And even though I would say the church with a capital C did their best to eliminate it in its entirety, unsuccessfully. But it's important because it really referenced, yes, reincarnation, that this is not our first rodeo, right? So it's giving everybody that understanding that the soul goes through an evolutionary process, that, you know, we are not our bodies, that we are really a spirit / soul that's molded over time through practice, right? Through learning and mistakes, etc. So it did give credence to this whole idea of reincarnation, but his readings also referenced, there's so much information with Edgar Cayce. Like if you want to learn about Atlantis, if you want to learn about Lemuria, you know, you can reference Edgar Cayce's work. But he was also really helpful when it came to giving information on ailments of the body. Now, he was known as a sleeping prophet because he literally would go into a trance-like state, but it's probably way deeper than that. And the process that he goes through is actually quite fascinating. So if you're into trance work, I would say read up on his stuff. But he would go into the sleep-like state, and usually the information that's being brought through him is not him. It's another spirit, if you will, archangels, angels, whatever you want to call them, light beings who would give information on helping people with ailments. But the information that was being brought through was more of a holistic nature. So I think that his work also impacted the movement in bringing holistic medicine, mind, body, spirit to the fore. So even though his, you know, his existence is prior to that of the 60s and 70s, right? The new hippie age movement, if you will, it's still very crucial for the expansion and for even, like I would say, the creation of the new age movement. And there's just, again, a library of information just from Edgar Cayce himself, who brought forth, I think, so much useful information that sometimes can get swept under the rug because we have new voices, which are important, right? And we give credence to that. But at the same time, I'm going back and referencing some of the initial arbiters of information that have been, you know, kind of hidden from us for a while is a useful journey. So additionally, I think another person who had a great impact, and I know I'm leaving out a lot of people, and my initial goal is to eventually, once I get through some things here on this podcast, is to kind of go through each person's work and some of the topics that they discuss more thoroughly. So don't worry, we have a lot of time. And my goal is to bring to you everything that I've learned from Edgar Cayce's work and what I've learned from Seth Speaks and from others that I've researched over the years. So another person who I think contributed widely to this movement is, and I believe, let's see, what did I have initially? So it was Neil Donald Walsh, which was Conversations with God. Now, even though the author himself says that these aren't channeled works, to me it's indicative of that practice. But some of the central things that his work brings about, and I'm sure many people have heard Conversations with God, are these themes that run rampant through his work are also very similar in Seth Speaks and a lot of Edgar Cayce's work, right? So you have this idea that we're all one, that we're innately prosperous, if you will, that there's nothing that we ever really need, and that God is a collective, if you will. So you have like these same running themes that are being presented just in mildly different ways. And I kind of think that the books that he created are a little bit more mainstream, so more people have probably read more into Conversations with God because he didn't set it up as an, oh, it's a channeled work, right? Well, no, it's more of a dialogue with my inner self, i.e. higher self, i.e. maybe channeled. But again, this idea that we're all one and that we're all, you know, we're all a collective, that we have everything that we essentially need within us. These ideas are at the core of what the New Age movement is supposed to be about. Obviously, there are some serious deviations, as you are all probably very well aware of, that keep you afraid. afraid and questioning the movement and the intention behind the movement, which I completely get. Now, to give you my perspective of what I really thought this movement was about before I entered it, I thought it was superficial. I thought it was superficial because I thought, or what I had seen was that people had to adopt these really wild hippie names, dress differently, and just even speak differently, right? There's a nasty, nasty stereotype, before reason as well, of this movement that created an aversion for within myself. It wasn't attractive because I thought there was such a huge level of vanity and superficiality associated with it, because I didn't feel compelled to change my full identity to be a part of a movement, right? That was kind of my initial concern with even kind of diving into what it's all about, because it's supposed to be, you know, the new age, so bringing forth something new for you, a new reality, a new experience. However, what I've kind of found is that I think for most people, the new age is synonymous with occultism. And for a good reason, it is. You have kind of just different branches of this movement. So one you have is definitely occultism, where you have the psychics, the channelers, readers. But then you also have kind of this other deviation, which is holistic health, holistic medicine, mind, body, spirit, where you have Reiki, pranic healing, energy healing, sound healing. You have that aspect, right? But then you have more, what's the word? I will just put quotes around spirituality, even though I think all of it is encompassed under that word. And when I say that, it's more of like self-help, right? Finding ways to better yourself. Here, you know, you utilize this strategy, utilize the spiritual practice to help bring, you know, awareness and enlightenment to the self. So this movement, it has many signifiers. However, I would like to think in my mind that the intent is, yes, enlightenment. And I don't mean all of a sudden you're enlightened overnight and then you're a guru and you're better than everybody else. It's totally, it goes against what I believe in. But what I would like to think that each step that you take, regardless if it's holistic or regardless if it's focused more on self-development, regardless if it's, you know, a tarot reader, what have you, all of it is to really have a better understanding of yourself and of the whole, right? And how you can contribute and help. Because I think service should really be the identifier of the movement in my mind. That's the way I would like for it to go, but your part is always important for yourself. You have to define your own variables, right? And utilize them well. So I had a negative impression of the movement. I mean, you have this whole, I guess you could say, counterculture again of hippies who were wearing crystals, who were running around in circles at a gathering, who were naked, chanting, laughing at, you know, laughing. Some of them, yes, were high. And I just did not feel, you know, as a Christian girl, that was at all what I was looking for or interested in. And truth be told, to this day, to give you a few of my own experiences of the movement, and by the way, I have realized that, yes, I'm deviating in the conversation because there are just so many people that I think have impacted this movement, and I will get to them in podcasts to come. I just feel like if you are looking for a starting point, depending upon your interests and trying to understand this movement, I think it would behoove you to kind of go back and look at some of the works that I, or some of the people that I discussed early on, because I think that even though they're not, you know, they're not here today, and their work was older, it's valuable. And I think truths are eternal. You just find them repackaged by many people who become our new gurus, if you will. So in terms of going back to my experiences in this community, I was very hesitant to join. Like, once I started practicing myself and took some leaps of faith, which I'll revisit later, I was nervous because I didn't know what to expect. So my first initial experience, I met a few people, and in my mind, they're really out there because obviously what's different is out there, right? But in my mind, some people had changed their names, and there was Fairy somebody and Sparkle this, and it just felt very disingenuous to me, and I couldn't understand why it was necessary to change your name. And that's a really bad judgment on my part still, but I feel like there is something very, there's like a lot of insincerity associated with doing something like that, you know, but to each his own. I also found that some of the people, that judgment was still there, and judgment is everywhere, but, excuse me, naively, I thought that in certain circles that, okay, let's drop our defenses and that the judgment wouldn't be as bad, but there's still competition. Oh my God, who's a better reader? Oh my God, are you a strong medium? What's your name? Where'd you come from? How long have you been practicing? What school did you go to? All of those things I experienced. And it was disheartening in a way that, again, it went against what I thought the movement was about, you know? And that gives you an idea of the fact that the movement, again, has various facets to it, and people get out of it what they want, right? What they're looking for. But I will say I have met certain people who I found to be very sincere, who are true seekers. Now, when I say a true seeker, it's somebody who's really trying to understand their place in the world and understand, you know, the universe, understand what God is, you know, why am I here? Why are these things happening to me? Why is the world like this? And why am I experiencing certain supernatural things, if you will? So that is there too, but I will say as a word of caution, don't buy into everything that's being sold to you because, or that someone is trying to sell, because everyone's going to tell you that their way is right. Everyone's going to tell you that their method is the correct method, which is just profoundly wrong, right? Everyone's going to tell you that they're enlightened because their chakras are open and they have kundalini energy, or that the worst thing I've experienced, actually, a good friend of mine who's been in this movement with me for a while or taking classes with me, he's not as well read as I am, but one day he called me saying, oh, hey, there's this huge retreat at Mount Shasta, you really need to come, and I'll send you like the information. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm always skeptical of certain things, because I wish to know who's teaching me and why, and et cetera, right? And then finally he gave me a card that was present at one of the stores, and it said the course up in Mount Shasta was being taught by, what was it, Hermes Trismegistus III? And I have to say, I was very uncomfortable. And I asked him, I was like, do you know who Hermes is? And he was like, oh, that's the name of the teacher. And I was like, no, he's taking that name of the person who wrote the Kybalion, you know, centuries ago, of a sacred teacher. At least, you know, it could be a totally manufactured, I don't know, alchemist from back in the day, you know, who learned from the Egyptians, which is the current, I believe, belief about Hermes. But I just felt like it was a little, suspect that you would have to fabricate your identity to sell a message. And I feel like a lot of it is out there, and that's a part of the movement that I really do not connect with. And I've run into this time and time again, and that for me is very concerning. And I feel like it's, on my end, just a word of caution, because there will always be swindlers. There will always be people who try to trick you. And there will always be people who tell you that their way is the only way. You find this everywhere, not just in organized religion. That's why the whole purpose, I would think, of this practice, this movement, is to understand yourself and trust that you too are part of God, because we are all one. Right? There's no separation between you and God. There's no separation between you and anybody in reality. But I feel like the idea that we are all separate is the worst trick of all. And the idea that we're separate from God is also the biggest mistake that we've made in terms of our understanding of ourselves, right? Just in general as spirits and even as people. But I will say that part of the movement does exist. I mean, yes, everyone is moving towards enlightenment in some sense, that they are growing. I do not equate enlightenment with all of a sudden a grand epiphany and then your personality changes, because I think that's crap, right? I personally see it as just growth and understanding as we move through life. This conversation could be bigger, but I'm limiting it here because we're almost out of time. But in terms of what the New Age, I kind of feel like, and it's also synonymous with the Age of Aquarius, right? It's supposed to bring forth a new world, new understanding. Yes, a different type of intelligence. It's the intelligence of the heart in collaboration with the mind, as opposed to the dominance of the intellect. This is what I imagine this New Age is supposed to be. However, like I said, as in any other practice in this world, yes, your ego mind kind of jumps in and power struggles, power ensues, right? And changes the intent of the practice. But I think for the movement overall, you will find a lot of amazing teachers who may not call themselves teachers, but who bring forth a lot of information that we need to know just to have a better understanding of our place, just to have a better understanding of not just our place, why we're here, to know that we're not being punished, to know that this is not our first rodeo, to know that, again, there's no separation between you and the creative force, to know that you are more than you think you are, to know that all things are possible, and to know that you can do anything, and that you are supported in all ways, and that you will forever be loved. And it doesn't matter what mistakes that you've made. And I think that those central themes are so crucial for the continuity even of the movement. To trust your intuition, to know that yes, there really is assistance, but to also know that God works through you as well. And I know a lot of people in the movement have a big aversion to the name God, which I get because it carries with it its own murderous baggage, right? But if you can get beyond, you know, the form itself and dive into the content of what that actually is, I think the aversion will drop. So I'm going to end this podcast by telling you, please, if you are interested in looking into something new, if you are kind of on the cusp of like looking beyond the Bible for answers and you're not sure where to go, I really do recommend kind of starting with, yeah, Conversations with God, or yes, the Seth material, or any of Edgar Casey's work, but always ask for discernment and always ask for help from above to guide you to some of those works. I'm, like I said at the outset, I'm leaving out such profound, amazing other spiritual teachers that I will touch upon as the podcast goes along. But those are truly some of, I think, some of the people that impacted me the most. And yes, there's Ram Dass, and I know I left that out, but we'll touch on that soon. But if you're really looking to have some clarity on some topic that's of interest to you, that you've been truly seeking, always ask from above, because you'll be guided. And then it's your job to trust it and then follow through. Don't check with 800 people first to see if you should do it. Trust that God speaks through you too, because you're just as special as everybody else. All right, everybody. I hope that this has been a decent podcast today. And thank you for listening. And I just want to say Happy New Year 2019. Take care.